At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Thursday to you. We have reached the double digits of October, October 10th. I mean, this month is flying by. Finally got to talk to a group of people for a library last night, Tewksbury, but didn't have to go all the way to Tewksbury. I love the fact that that library recognizes how big these paranormal presentations can be in October. Not just me, but all the other folks that go out and talk about it. So what they do is they book these virtually so that they can get as many people in there as possible. And well over 100 people attended last night. They wouldn't be able to get that many people in the library. So I think it topped out around like 150, 175 people during the presentation. I don't know. Then I was sharing my screen, so I couldn't see the numbers after that. But lots of folks. And so if some of you were in there, thanks for checking it out. Presidential Paranormal is one of my favorite presentations to give because it's based on research. It's based on stories that have come out. Now, whether or not the stories are true are a different story, but there's still legends that have been bandied about for years. So we get a chance to visit those legends and talk about why the White House could be haunted and why there might be some of these, you know, strange stories associated with the presidents and the inhabitants of the White House. So I don't think I've got that one on tap again, but I don't know. I don't think so, but you never know. People are still reaching out to me and saying, do you have this date open? Do you have this date open? The problem is I don't have those dates open. But next week, next Wednesday, if you would like to see me speak, I will be at the New Bedford Public Library at 7 p.m., talking about from Fox Sisters to Ghost Brothers, how ghost hunting is just modern-day spiritualism. That's another one of my favorites to give. I don't get requests for that presentation very often, and I don't know why. I think it's, you know, maybe it's a little bit too in-depth in some cases, but I do some basic overview stuff. And then you can see me at the Millicent Library on the 23rd, where I'll be talking about the ghosts of the South Coast. Then Freetown on the 26th, talking about haunted objects. So those are my local, like within our listenership ones. I'll also be out in, you know, Pembroke and Worcester and Belchertown. So lots of other opportunities coming up to come out and razz me from the audience. So we have a lot that we can discuss today. I hope that you call in at 508-996-0500. I hope that you send app chat messages on the WBSM app. And I hope you don't take for granted the fact that we can do all these things this morning, because there are plenty of folks down in Florida who could be days or even weeks without having such ability. Right now, the current estimate is that there's more than 3 million people without power down in Florida. And when you think about that, you say, well, I mean, the first thing that your mind goes to, I think, maybe this is just me, but the first thing your mind goes to is weather, like climate, time of year. Now, this is Florida we're talking about, so it's not like they've got to worry about, you know, 15-degree nights. But you still think, well, gee, at least it's at a time of year where, you know, they're not going to need to turn the heat on or have the air conditioning running. They'll be okay without it. Secondly, you go to making sure that people can keep the supplies that they need. Like, what about food? What about medicine? And then as you go further down the list, then you think about communication. But for those of you who have loved ones who are down there, communication is key. Not being able to hear from people is key. I've got family and friends that live down in that area. You know, I'm trying not to be annoying and checking in with them, but rather waiting to see if they post any kind of update. Because I'm like, you know, they're busy. Maybe they can't reach out to me right away. So I feel like, you know, there's a process to a levels of your concern. You know, are you okay? First of all, number one, you know, is your home okay? Do you have everything that you need? When can you get back into your home? I saw someone post, I don't know if it was true. I didn't look it up yet to see if it was true. I just happened to see it when I was scrolling this morning, where it said that the roof blew off Tropicana Field. And that stadium has seen a lot of storms. I was watching a little bit of CNN last night, and they had Anderson Cooper down there, and they had their other correspondents in different places throughout Florida. And they were talking about, you know, we've covered these before, and we're seeing things we've never seen. Now, the storm did weaken. Right now, it's a Category 1. But that's still not anything that you want to be caught in. It's not something that you want to be stuck in. And it seems like, you know, people were smart about this one and actually did listen to the warnings. Now, I've lived through, I think, the first hurricane I can remember, and I'm sure there were some before this, but the first one I'm aware of was Hurricane Gloria in, 1986, where I remember we lived in Plymouth in this apartment that had these big sliding glass windows that went out into the backyard. And I remember seeing my dad tape the X on the windows. And I was like, well, what's going on here? Like, this has got to be serious. I've never seen him do that before. And then when the storm hit, you know, we went outside, out front, and we were getting kind of blown around. You know, just little kids, weighed like 60 pounds. You're getting blown around. But, you know, I never really appreciated what hurricanes were around here, because every storm that we got after that kind of dissipated into a tropical storm before it hit us. And then Hurricane Bob came along in 1991. And I was living in Forestdale at the time. So I was a little bit inland. You know, Forestdale is a part of Sandwich, but it's in between like Sandwich and Mashpee, Sandwich and Falmouth. So you're away from the coastline, but we still got walloped pretty hard there. And then you see the destruction. I moved to Wareham not long after, and people were still dealing with the fallout of it. And then, of course, you know, getting to know that town over the course of 30 plus years and then seeing the photos of what Bob did to that town, you realize, wow, this was hugely destructive for this area. But out of all the storms that I've seen, the worst one was a couple of years ago, and it wasn't even a hurricane. It was just a nor'easter. I believe it was a late October storm that hit. I was on the Cape when it hit, working overnight, covering for my dad, and dealing with winds like I had never seen. And I'm dealing with like 80 mile an hour winds. I'm dealing with, and that shut down the bridge and trapped me on the Cape. And I was trapped between two streets with power lines that had come down and trees that had come down. And I didn't know what to do. And that was probably the worst that I've experienced. So I can only imagine what it's like then to be dealing with, you know, 125 mile an hour winds, sustained winds. So it's it's heartbreaking to see that it happens, but this is, you know, nature's fury that we get every now and again. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
Good. It's true about Tropicana Field. They just showed it on a 12 o'clock
channel.
It's true. They should even show the picture with the roof off and everything.
Wow. And to think of how many storms it's gone through all those years.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's why you said you haven't checked it. I don't think that you won't put anything on. That's not true. So
I appreciate that.
All right. You have a nice day.
You as well. Take care. And yeah, so if you have loved ones that are down there, I hope that they're safe. I hope everybody's safe. But, you know, and then the common misconception is that people are dumb for not, you know, I shouldn't say dumb, but, you know, well, I mean, that's the way that people kind of look at it. But it's not that people are uninformed when they decide to stay behind. It's just that some people are resolute, and some people, in some cases, they just don't want to admit and face what's coming. But, you know, we up here say, how can people do that? How can people stay when they know that this path of destruction is coming their way? But listen, we do the same thing up here, right? There are people here that, when storms come, refuse to budge. There's people that are out there surfing in a nor'easter. There are people that are out there, you know, like me, grilling meat in a blizzard. There are people who think that they're being stoic when they might not necessarily be being smart. So you do have people that are going to stay behind in the face of that and who won't be deterred. Some folks do it because they have nowhere else to go. When Helene was approaching, I have a friend who is a single mom, three young kids. They were telling her she had to evacuate her house, and she's like, I don't know anybody else around here. I don't have anywhere to go. Might be two kids. I don't know. We're just social media friends. I don't know her that well. And she's in the paranormal. She was saying, like, they wanted her to go to the shelter, and she's like, I don't know anybody at the shelter either. And so I don't feel safe at the shelter if there's going to be hundreds of people that I don't even know. And I was trying to tell her, like, you know, it'll be supervised. You know, just keep your kids close. It'll be supervised. It'll be a good chance to get to know people. Because a lot of times in the face of these crises, you see people at their best. And that's a good time to make friends. I moved out of the house, out of my parents' house, less than a week after 9/11. I was technically moving in before that, but I was kind of slow moving it. I didn't want to rent a truck. I was taking things over a little bit at a time. I was in no rush to move out of my parents' house. So I would, you know, bring a few things over each day after work, spend a little time there, setting things up the way that I wanted it. You know, they didn't give me a date to get out. I was just moving out on my own. And then 9/11 hit. My mom asked me to stay for another week. She was just a little bit nervous about me going out on my own. So I stayed for another week. But then when I started meeting my neighbors, you know, I'm meeting them at probably the time when they're going to be the most neighborly, because everybody was having that sense of community, that we're all one America. Now, had I moved into that neighborhood, that particular neighborhood, at a different time, I might have had the same experience. Or I might have, you know, chosen myself to be a little bit more insular. But what about the people that don't want to go to those places? You know, they're going to stay behind and they're going to run these risks. And now, you know, hopefully they are all safe. 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Later on this morning in the 8 o'clock hour, firefighter Anthony will be in. We're going to be talking about Fire Safety Week, Fire Safety Month. We're going to be talking about what you can do to avoid fires, because we are getting into that season here in New Bedford where people are going to start turning on the heat, not just in New Bedford, but everywhere. People are going to be turning on the heat probably for the first time this year. That has potential risks. You know, you haven't been thinking about, especially here in New Bedford where so many folks have those older type furnaces in the apartments, the gas ones that, let's face it, are not the best technology available. But do people necessarily know the safety steps involved with starting one of those up for the season? We'll talk about that more with Firefighter Anthony today, and we'll take your calls with him as well. We will also have your first Money Talks cash code of the day coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. It is the final 2 days of this contest. Your last 20 chances to enter to win $30,000. So make sure that you are listening and writing down or typing in every one of those codes as you hear them. And then it's also the last 2 days to enter to win tickets to see Mariah Carey's Christmas Time. By the way, Money Talks on WBSM is brought to you by Mirasol's Cafe in Dartmouth and now in Fairhaven, where they have a nice drive-thru. Makes it very easy. And where they also have, at both locations, the Mirasol's app to make it nice and easy for you to order ahead of time and just pick it up when you get there. No need to wait. They'll have your chippy or whatever else you're going to get waiting for you. You know what else is good, too, is you can tell all your coworkers at work, hey, I'm going to order Mirasol's on the app. Does anybody want anything? And then you all decide to chip in and get a gallon of chippy. The pumpkin chippy, very good for this time of year. Also, we will have those Mariah Carey tickets. We're giving those away at WBSM.com. And on the WBSM app, you will get to see Mariah Carey's Christmas Time, her big holiday extravaganza coming to TD Garden on Thursday, December 5th. Tickets are still available at LiveNation.com if you want to just buy some. But we have your chance to win some on the website and on the app. And that's brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy, where they're going to be having, coming up in just a couple of weeks, their big holiday tasting. And that's the big one right there. That's the one that has lots of things for you to get out there and try. So we'll have details on that coming up for you a little bit later on. Right now, though, I'm going to take my first break of the morning. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back.
Hey, I guess our song is over as we began to sing. Could have been so beautiful. Could have been so right. Could have been my lover. Every day.
Why doesn't that song get remembered more? That's a fantastic song. That's one of those songs that you should hear on the radio all the time, but you never do anymore. But you will hear it here. That is Tiffany's Could Have Been from her first album. Well, we'll have some more songs that you probably forgot about coming up, as well as some other talk. 508-996-0500. We will also have, I think, you know, as we go on with this discussion about what's going on with these hurricanes, we'll hear from folks down there who are from the South Coast who are going down there to help. I know one person who has agreed to join us when they get down there. That is our friend at Southern Mass Alerts. I always get it wrong. Southern Mass Alerts at @Metro_notify on Twitter. When he goes down there, he's going to call in and let us know. But we have other folks that are going to be going down there as well. And feel free to check in with us if you are down there and want to call in and give us an update. I know some of our regular callers are down there as well. But right now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day with Phil Devitt.
A Assessing the damage as Milton makes landfall. Former President Trump planning maybe his biggest rally yet. And how to make getting up in the morning a little more fun.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Hurricane Milton made landfall Wednesday night as a powerful Category 3 storm, bringing life-threatening storm surge, heavy winds, and rain. A flash flood emergency continues at this hour for portions of west central Florida. The storm has left more than 3 million customers without power after coming ashore earlier at Siesta Key. That's a barrier island just south of Sarasota, Florida. It's since been downgraded to a Category 1 hurricane with maximum sustained winds of up to 85 miles per hour. First responders in Florida say they've been limited in performing rescues because of the intense winds from Hurricane Milton. Officials in Tampa advised people to try and stay out of the way to let emergency personnel do their jobs.
So please stay indoors until we give you the all clear. And again, we are in this together. We will be safer together if you heed our warnings and stay in and stay off the road.
Authorities are warning people in central Florida that even if they call 911, they'll essentially be on their own until conditions are deemed safe for authorities to venture out. Former President Donald Trump is planning to hold a rally at Madison Square Garden. Multiple reports say the rally at MSG will take place October 27th, just 9 days from Election Day. Trump has said multiple times that one of his larger goals is to turn New York into a red state from a political perspective. A recent Trump rally on Long Island brought out thousands of supporters. A British study shows COVID-19 can boost your heart attack and stroke risk for 3 years after an infection. Tammy Trujillo with the details.
That's according to scientists at the UK Biobank, who studied medical records from 250,000 people. People who contracted COVID before there were vaccines to reduce the severity of the disease were twice as likely to have a major cardiac event as those who managed to avoid COVID in the early days. The study also found that the heart attack risk did not diminish over time. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
The Justice Department may ask a judge to break up Google's search engine from other parts of its company. Federal prosecutors accuse the tech giant of holding an illegal monopoly over online search. A police department in California is the first in the country to have an official Tesla Cybertruck. The Irvine Police Department near Los Angeles revealed their purchase this week with a video on social media showing the Cybertruck with its flashing police lights and said they'll use the new Tesla to promote their anti-drug DARE program. And Nintendo is revealing a new piece of hardware to its lineup. Matt Mattinson explains.
It's me, Mario.
The video game giant recently unveiled an alarm clock. The so-called Alarmo is motion-activated and features sounds and music from Nintendo games. It can also play more relaxing sounds to help folks doze off and even features sleep-tracking technology. The new product goes for around $100 and drops early next year. However, Nintendo Switch Online members can buy it now. I'm Matt Mattinson.
WBSM Sports.
The Bruins hope to bounce back from a season opener loss to the Florida Panthers. Back at TD Garden tonight for the home opener, playing the Montreal Canadiens. Boston Celtics continue the preseason Saturday night with the Philadelphia 76ers, also at TD Garden. And the Patriots gearing up to play the Houston Texans on Sunday at Gillette Stadium. You can listen to the game right here on WBSM.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A chilly start to your Wednesday morning. No, Thursday morning. Where are we? When are we? Temperatures in the mid-60s, even warmer tomorrow in the low 70s. Clouds will increase Sunday, and a storm coming from the Great Lakes looks like it'll try to bring us some showers between Sunday night and Monday mid-morning. Temperatures both days will be in the low 60s. And just to confirm, today is Thursday. This WBSM News Update brought to you by Sea Streak's Sunset Cruise, taking the sights of historic New Bedford from the water on Saturday, October 12th. You can book now at seastreak.com. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in 508-996-0500. And Phil, I commiserate with you there. I go through that every morning. If not for the computer next to me, I have no idea what day it is.
Yeah, the brain just totally blew up in that moment. I have no idea. Lost all sense of space and time.
I just look at the screen and I'm like, happy Thursday.
That's it.
I will have no idea otherwise. And, you know, we like to crap on the National Day calendar, and which... So ironically, today's National Take a Crap on the National Calendar Day. No, it's not. But if we paid enough, it could be. But today is National Angel Food Cake Day and National Cake Decorating Day. But most of the angel food cake I've had in my life has not been decorated.
No, correct me if I'm wrong. Is that the stuff that you put the strawberries on for that strawberry shortcake, or am I crazy?
Well, that's... Yes, you can, but generally for strawberry shortcake, you use more the cup, like the, you know, it's a little bit more denser. Angel food is very light and fluffy, but usually it's that ring of angel food cake that doesn't have any, like, frosting or anything on it. You just, like, rip it off and eat it. I don't know anybody that cuts it. Everybody I know just grabs a chunk and throws it in their mouth, but... They have a picture of a decorated angel food cake on here, and I guess you can, and I'm sure there are some places that do, but I've just never eaten it that way. To me, it seems contradictory to have National Angel Food Cake Day and National Cake Decorating Day on the same day.
Right. I mean, maybe I would enjoy angel food cake decorated because it does nothing for me the way it is. I have to be honest.
You don't like it?
I don't like it. I just feel like it's missing stuff.
See,
am I supposed to enjoy this? Yeah, I don't know.
As somebody who is an overweight guy, well, was an overweight guy, I am not a fan of cake frosting. I don't really like cake that much.
Mm-hmm.
But frosting really is just, it's too sweet for me. I've never really liked it. I can't be one of those people that takes the frosting and the spoon and just eats it out of the container.
You're a cake purist.
I prefer, the one cake that I like is actually Boston cream pie, which is not a pie, it's cake. But
right.
That's the one that I like. But for the most, I mean, I'll have cake, but I just don't go for it normally. Because I don't like frosting. That's why angel food cake was always great for me, because it was just the actual cake. It was the meat of the cake without all the other stuff.
Yeah. We've talked about Boston cream before, how much we love it.
I mean, you've been missing out on the donuts because I've been beating you to them.
Oh, yeah. That's tough.
We had Leo Choquette came in one day, brought in donuts. I grabbed the Boston cream. Then the next day, Christopher Thrasher came in.
Mm-hmm.
He brought donuts, grabbed the Boston cream. So,
what do you call that thing? I have no words today. In addition to not knowing the date, where you all swap gifts?
Yankee swap.
Yankee swap. It's right there in the name. So, one year I got invited to a Yankee swap, and I didn't get the memo that it was supposed to be an all alcohol Yankee swap, like, you know, swap bottles of booze.
What, was there even a memo, or is that just naturally how it played out? Because that's how every Yankee swap ends up being. Alcohol and scratch tickets.
Yeah, there was no memo. I was just clueless. So I'm the guy who brought a Boston cream cake to the swap.
Oh.
Well, nobody wanted it. So
really?
It went around like a hot potato all night. And eventually, long story short, I ended up with it.
Went back to you?
And you know what? I was thrilled.
I often will do that for a Yankee swap. I'm like, what do I want? Because I'm happy to have I'm happy to bring a bad gift that nobody else wants, but that I want.
Yeah, and that way you don't look selfish about it later. It's like, it just happened.
But I also think that, you know, people fight over, like, the scratch tickets, the booze. One year I brought to a family Yankee swap, back when the Celtics were terrible, you used to be able to get a balcony seats for $10 each. So, and the limit on this Yankee swap was $25. So I got two tickets, and then they had this thing where you could sign up for a credit card and you could get a free shirt. And I was like, I've got terrible credit. There's no way I'm getting this card, but at least I'll get a free shirt. So I got that and put that in with the gift too. So there was a Celtic shirt, two tickets, and I put that in there, and everybody went crazy for it.
Oh yeah.
Like, they were fighting each other over it. And I was like, well, but then it created this, I think, was my first Yankee swap with them. So then it created a expectation then that I had to improve on that each and every year. So finally, I was just like, I'm just going to bring scratch tickets. Like, that'll get me through it and everybody will be happy.
Yep. Easy.
And thankfully, nobody won. Because that'd be the worst. If you bought $25 worth of scratch tickets, put them in a Yankee swap, and somebody hit for like $100,000, you would be kicking yourself.
You would kick yourself, but also hopefully they wouldn't be a jerk. Not that they owe you, but maybe they'd give you a cut, right?
Well, that's my family we're talking about. So they'd send me pictures of what they spent the money on, maybe.
Well, that's good. You can live vicariously through them.
So we did a Yankee swap 1 year that I can recall here. We had our Christmas party at Brazilian Grill, now under a different name, Trapero's. But the swap was, let's say, underwhelming. Not that people brought bad gifts, but I just think people like weren't, it wasn't like the focus of the night. You know, it wasn't the big thing like it is at other places. So I don't think we brought it back ever since, but you reach a point where you're like, you don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
And if they ever give me the option, like, oh, you can not bring something and just not take part, I'm like, I'm doing that.
Yep. Love that.
I'll just watch from the side because I don't like, what's the point? We used to do, my favorite thing that we used to do was we did this at the Standard Times. Sports Desk would have its own party. We would all get together at the holidays and have our own party. And we would do what John Comey called the dollar store draft, where he would go out and buy like $30 worth of stuff at the dollar store, random things, and bring it all to, we would do it like at the Chinese buffet, and he would bring it all and we would have numbers and you would draw the numbers and then you would pick like the NBA draft. So when it was your turn to draft, you could pick and you could trade, but you know, we would go and get the, and you'd come home with like $5 worth of like little trinkets, but it was funny.
Right.
And it was, you know, it was about the experience more about than what you walked away with. And I think people appreciated that more. So maybe we could do something like that.
Yeah. The fun workplace culture. Is that what they call it?
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to suggest that to Mark. I'm going to be like, you know what? I need to expense out like $30 to go buy junk. But see, now it's $1.25. So
yep.
Doesn't go as far.
Tough times.
All right. Well, thanks for talking with me about the holidays and getting me all anxious about it when we still are months away.
You got it. That's my job.
All right. Also, looking at the national calendar day, tomorrow is Kazimierz Pulaski Day, honoring the Polish hero of the American Revolution, who, as you know, has a school named after him here in New Bedford. So you can celebrate that tomorrow as well. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in, 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Assistant Director.
How you doing?
I'm good. I didn't sleep too good last night. I have cousins. I don't know exactly what city the storm is moving around, but I have cousin in Fort Myers and cousins in Kissimmee. Is that how you say that word?
Yeah, Kissimmee. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't contacted them yet. They haven't called me either. But I have a good, longtime friend, a YouTuber that makes videos, and she has her own channel. And she's in St. Petersburg, and she got slammed. And I was talking to her. She was doing live videos at the time. She had all her windows boarded up and all, got things ready, took things out of her yard. And it was starting to rain, and the wind was real strong by the time she left. And I told her, hurry up and get the hell out of there. What are you doing? You're supposed to hurry up. Now, she had gotten, they were passing out elastic or rubbery kind of bracelet, and you get that. And then when you show up at the shelter where they gave it to you, they're going to let you right in right away. They don't have to get your name and all that. They don't have to ask you nothing. You just show them, and they let you in. So she showed up over there, and she made a live video. When I was talking to her, I could see her. She could see me, too. And she got there. They let her in, and she got in. It was a school. She went to a school, and all the hallways, all on that first floor. Now, the classrooms are there. The classrooms were shut, she said, when she got there. And they were all sitting on the floor. There were no chairs in the hall, so they all sat on the floors. It was all wet cold. She said it gets real cold during the storm, even though you're in Florida. It was cold. And she had a guy sitting next to her, and they started talking a lot. Now, what happened was while she was there, a woman that was in the hall with them had a stroke. So they wondered, gee, will an ambulance come for her, or she's just going to have to stay like this? So an ambulance did come, and they took her away. Now, at the same time, they were stopping people from coming into the school because they were claiming they were all overfilled and they can't let no one else in. So my friend spoke up. She was yelling and arguing with them because she said that woman was taken away because of a stroke. So you have an empty spot. Can't you let that lady in? She's standing right near the door. She's soaking wet and freezing. I'll give her a blanket. And they were so mean, Mr. Weisberg. They wouldn't let her in. And she was moving her camera so I could see the hallways and all. There was plenty room. They could have let 20 or 30 more people in. And that woman was standing outside that door, and my friend got so upset. She was yelling, screaming, and even swearing. She goes, you need to let that lady in. She's going to die outside. And after yelling and screaming half an hour, 30, 35 minutes, they opened the door and they let her in. It was horrible. She said they were very mean to them. She had her own, it's this big thing, you carry it around, you fill it all with water, and then it's like a tubing. You can just suck on it like a big flexible straw kind of a thing. I don't know what you call it. But she had that, a gallon of water, 2 gallons with her, and a couple of bags of sandwiches and some cheese. And she was passing out her food. I said, you don't know how long you're going to be there. I said, did they give you any food? She goes, no, there was no talk of food. And she was in a hurry to get home. She didn't even want to be there, but it was so dangerous. I'm glad she went there. And she was happy that her father wasn't there to see, because he passed away recently, not even 2 months ago. She goes, I'm so glad my father's not here to see this, because he wouldn't have even made it over. He would have never left the house. There are people that will not leave their home, and I understand it. Nobody wants to leave their home, you know. But why would a shelter in a storm like that, with so much room in that hallway, everybody's on the floor, big deal. I'd rather be on the floor than be out in the storm.
Yeah, I mean,
let her in.
I don't know. I don't know why people, you know, do it the way, you know, why they live life the way that they do. But I think, you know, it was a scary situation that probably didn't help by the fact that it was so strong before it hit. It calmed down before it hit. But
I know
you were thinking the worst, you know, just a day ago, you're thinking the worst.
Well, this was St. Petersburg I'm talking about.
Which was a heavy hit area.
And they were yelling at the woman through the glass door saying, you don't have your bracelet. You don't have a bracelet. Did you come to get a bracelet? And so my friend was yelling, what are you yelling about a bracelet? Open the door. Let her in. So now I didn't hardly sleep that night. I stopped talking to her about 1 a.m., and then after that, I dozed off a little, but I felt like I haven't slept. I got up not even 5 minutes ago, making coffee, and then I heard you. I turned you on, and I says, oh, I'm going to get that in there. And well, I still have to call and see how my cousins are making out. I don't even know. Are they in the line of the storm? I mean, Fort Myers. And I have another friend in Jacksonville. I don't think it went that high up, you think?
Yeah, I think so. My friend lives just outside of Fort Myers, but he's on an elevated area. So he didn't have to evacuate. He stayed behind, but he did send his kids because they have joint custody, him and his wife. So he sent them to be with the mom just in case. But it just seems like, I don't know the topography and the geography very well, but it seems like just a few miles made a difference in some places.
Yeah.
Did you see the report?
I'll never get it, though.
Did you see the report
that
they were asking, authorities were asking people to write their, if they were going to stay behind, write their name on permanent marker on their arm or their leg to help them ID the bodies later.
Oh, God. Oh, that's terrible, though, because you know what it means, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, but she was doing a lot of yelling there before they let that lady in. Thank God she was yelling. Sometimes it pays to have a loud mouth, you know, screaming and yelling. They finally let her in and, oh, thank God. I don't know how many other people must have came later. I don't know until I talked to her. I hope she's all right. I mean, you're in a school. That's a pretty strong building. You know? So I'm sorry for everybody that's out there. I hope not too many loss of lives anyway.
And, you know,
thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. All right. You have a good day.
Yep. I'll be listening.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I hope everybody's okay.
Thank you.
And I think you start to think about that yourself, what happens if we had something like that happen up here? It's been a while since we've had a storm like that. What would happen if we had one of those up here? Something that destructive. Would people heed the warnings, or would they just tough it out like the true Swamp Yankees we are? I've got to take my final break of the hour. We'll be right back. All right. That's going to do it for this.